This is DW News live from Berlin. NATO's expansion plans in jeopardy. Turkey blocks talks on Finland and Sweden joining the alliance. President Erdogan says it's over Kurdish militants, but is Ankara trying to leverage a deal? Also coming up, Russia says nearly 1,000 Ukrainian fighters have surrendered in Mariupol. While Kiev pushes for a prisoner swap, Moscow is threatening to put some on trial for war crimes. And ending Europe's dependency on Russian oil and gas. The EU unveils a massive plan to harness the wind in the North Sea. I'm Ula Alsakar. Thanks for joining us. Turkey has blocked talks on Finland and Sweden joining NATO. Both Nordic nations have now formally submitted membership bids. New members need unanimous agreement from all 30 current members, but Turkey has said no. Turkish President Recep Tayyip Erdogan accuses Finland and Sweden of harbouring Kurdish terrorists. Another dispute is over sophisticated weaponry.
For Turkey, the issue could actually be about US fighter jets. Turkey was dropped from the F-35 Advanced Fighter Jet Development Program in 2019. This was part of a US sanctions packet imposed on the country after it bought a Russian air defense system. Many believe Ankara is now hoping to pressure the US into selling it new F-16 fighter jets instead, an extremely controversial topic in Washington. Another issue: in 2019, Sweden halted weapons deliveries to Turkey after it attacked Kurdish People's Defense units in northern Syria and launched an offensive there. Turkish President Recep Tayyip Erdogan could consider this grounds enough to block the start of NATO accession talks for Sweden and Finland, possibly destabilizing the alliance in the process. It would play into President Putin's hands. It would send a signal that there's no unity within NATO, the wrong signal at precisely the wrong moment. In New York, US Secretary of State Antony Blinken and his Turkish counterpart Mevlut Çavuşoğlu met in an attempt to find a compromise. There, Çavuşoğlu made Turkey's position clear.
Turkey has been supporting the open door policy of NATO. Even before this war, but with regards to this possible candidates or already candidate countries, you know, we have also legitimate security concerns that they have been supporting terrorist organizations, and there are also export restrictions on defense products.
Every concession Turkey wins from the situation will likely isolate it further in NATO circles, but will win President Erdogan political points at home, something he will welcome as Turkey heads towards presidential elections next year.
The US is trying to convince Turkey to soften its position. DW's Ines Paul is in Washington covering the story for us. She told us how the meeting went.
When Finland and Sweden signaled they were thinking of making the historic decision joining NATO, the alliance expected a tough response from Moscow, not from one of its own. So ever since Turkey raised conditions for accepting the membership, the rest of NATO was actually really irritated and pretty outspoken about it. However, we hear from today's meeting between the foreign minister of Turkey and Biden's national security advisor Blinken that both sides are on a path to find an agreement. But at this point, they don't mention the specifics.
Ines Paul there. So is President Erdogan taking a tough stance on NATO expansion to leverage some sort of deal? Here's DW's Turkey correspondent Dorian Jones.
I think that is the expectation at the moment. There is this belief that Ankara is in a strong position, but at the same time, according to Turkish officials speaking behind the scenes, they still want negotiations. Although having said that, President Erdogan's stance does seem appear to be continuing to harden. And I think that this is an indication that Erdogan does see this as in many ways an historical opportunity to extract major concessions from all of its Western partners. There's a feeling that there has been this there's ongoing double standards, that Turkey's security concerns haven't been addressed over the last few years, and Ankara sees an opportunity of forcing its partners to address those issues. The risk for Ankara is that Turkey could be overplaying its hand and risk itself being isolated from its Western partners.
That was Dorian Jones in Istanbul. Now, Russia says nearly 1,000 Ukrainian fighters at the Azovstal steelworks in Mariupol have now surrendered. Ukraine now hopes to get them back in a prisoner swap. But some lawmakers in Moscow warn some of them put on trial for war crimes, possibly even executed. Ukraine says it's still trying to evacuate the remaining fighters from the plant.
There are fears the Ukrainian fighters who defended the Azovstal plant in Mariupol could face rough justice from Moscow. Russian TV showed defeated troops being led away from the sprawling steel plant. Russia says they'll be treated according to international norms, but there have been calls to designate the feared Azov regiment a terrorist organization. A Russian lawmaker taking part in peace talks with Kyiv said Russia should consider the death penalty for the Azov regiment. They do not deserve to live after the monstrous crimes against humanity that they have committed and that are committed continuously against our prisoners. Ukraine officials remain hopeful their soldiers can be exchanged for Russian prisoners of war. From our side, we can say that the negotiation process is ongoing and that the rescue operation itself is also ongoing. There has also been some unprecedented criticism of the war from unexpected quarters. The main problem with our military and political position is that we are in full geopolitical isolation and that however much we hate to admit it, virtually the entire world is against us. And that's a situation we need to get out of. The Mariupol victory marks a rare win for Russia's military in its three-month invasion of Ukraine. But it could be short-lived. Finland and Sweden have made a joint application to join NATO, a further setback to Moscow's ambitions to contain the expansion of the bloc.
We asked our correspondent, Matthias Berlinger, in Kharkiv, what was likely to happen to the Ukrainian soldiers being held by Russian forces?
That's hard to say what's most likely to happen. Ukraine is still hoping for a prisoner exchange, and this is what we understand was the deal in the very beginning, but everybody is aware that this kind of deal is not worth a lot until it has happened. The reason why these fighters have stayed so long in the steelworks and why they have not surrendered despite having very little food left, very little ammunition left, etc., was that they feared that in Russian hands they would be either executed or tortured. What we're hearing now from Moscow points to that possibility as well. There might be, they're now in their hands. It's Moscow now who decides what will happen to them.
Matthias Berlinger there reporting from Ukraine. Now, some other developments in the war. A Russian soldier being tried for war crimes in Ukraine has pleaded guilty to killing an unarmed civilian. It's the first such case since the invasion. The prosecutor says it sends a clear message that those who commit war crimes will not escape accountability. The International Criminal Court is sending forensic experts and investigators to Ukraine to probe possible crimes against humanity. Western allies accused Russia of committing war atrocities, including the murdering of civilians. The United States has reopened its embassy in Kyiv. The U.S. State Department says a small number of staff will return to the Ukrainian capital. Several countries, including Germany, France and Britain, have reopened their embassies over the past month after Russian troops withdrew from the region. UN Secretary General Antonio Guterres has expressed hope of reaching a deal with Moscow to allow billions of tons of grain to leave Ukrainian ports. Ukraine is one of the world's leading producers of grain, but the fighting has hampered exports and sent prices soaring, exacerbating the global food security crisis. The European Commission has launched a 300 billion euro plan to end Europe's dependence on Russian fossil fuels. The main focus is on renewable energy. Germany, Belgium, the Netherlands and Denmark have all pledged to produce more wind power in the North Sea. Other measures include cutting electricity consumption.
This is among the ways Europe plans to create more homegrown energy through enormous offshore wind projects in the North Sea. In Denmark, representatives met from the European Commission and the North Sea countries to discuss forging a new path forward.
The big vision is that we have to expand the offshore wind industry all over the North Sea, that we have to connect each other, that we can make a common business out of it, and that we understand that this is now the time for industrialization.
The declaration of intent will soon be followed by concrete projects. Concern for the environment is one incentive, but Europe also wants to rid itself of dependence on Russian oil and gas as quickly as possible. The European commissioners explained how it will work. The RePower EU plans are a mix of ideas and concrete regulatory proposals. One of the most important points, speeding up the approval process.
Whenever we talk about rapid deployment of renewables, there is an elephant in the room. Getting a permit might take as long as 9 years for wind and up to 4 years for solar projects. So this is time that we do not have.
In the future, the approval of such projects should be possible within a year. Alongside wind power, solar energy will also be prioritized.
We're proposing a solar rooftop obligation for commercial and public buildings as of 2025 and for new residential buildings as of 2029. I know this is ambitious, but it is realistic. We can do it.
To finance this, the EU will have to spend a lot of money. More than 300 billion euros have already been allocated to the plan.
DW correspondent Julia Sardelli was at that announcement in Denmark. She sent us this assessment.
The place where this summit is taking place is telling of the importance that Denmark and the other North Sea countries want to give to offshore wind going forward. The port of Esbjerg here in Denmark is the most important in Europe for offshore wind. Massive turbines like the ones here behind me are shipped from here to the rest of the world, making the port a hub worldwide for wind energy. Now the countries who were present here at the summit, Denmark, Germany, Belgium and the Netherlands, plus the EU, want to push for the further development of offshore wind here in the region. They made a joint pledge to build up to 150 gigawatts of offshore wind in the North Sea until 2050. That is a massive tenfold increase compared to today's capacity. They also pledged to work jointly on these infrastructure projects, making it the first step towards truly European energy plans. The need to become quickly independent from Russian energy has made the drive for offshore wind even more pressing, as has the need to tackle the rising energy prices and the ambition to reach the climate goals, which are, yes, ambitious, but also crucial.
Julia Sardelli reporting there. Now to football, and Wednesday night saw a thrilling conclusion to the Europa League with Eintracht Frankfurt winning in a penalty shootout. The Bundesliga side beat Scotland's Rangers in a tough final in Seville. It's Frankfurt's first continental trophy in 42 years.
The fans from Glasgow and Frankfurt drank in the beer and the Europa League atmosphere before the game amid a searing heatwave in Seville. Perhaps they would have paced themselves a little more if they'd known what lay in store in the final. After a tense first half, a slip from Tuta allowed Joe Aribo to give Rangers the lead on 57 minutes. But Raphael Boré latched onto a great cross from Philip Kostage to equalise and spark bedlam in the Frankfurt fan zone in Seville. There was stalemate thereafter, and so the game went to penalties, and Frankfurt keeper Kevin Trapp saved from Aaron Ramsey, brought to Glasgow from Juventus amid much fanfare in January, to give the Germans the advantage. And Colombia's Boré made his second big contribution of the night, keeping his cool amid the heat to give Frankfurt just their second European trophy and their first since the UEFA Cup in 1980. No surprise it went down pretty well back home in Germany.
Before we go, here's a quick reminder of the top story we're following for you. Turkey has blocked talks on Finland and Sweden joining NATO. President Recep Tayyip Erdogan accuses the two Nordic nations of harbouring Kurdish terrorists. That's all for now. After a break, Rob Watts is here with the business news as the US calls on tariffs on Russian oil. I'm